Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, praise team. Good morning. Happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers. Want to share something real quick. I don't know who this is for, but you've said it's too late for me to do that. You said it's too late for me to do that. That season of my life has passed. That season of my life has passed. It's too late for me to do that. I missed that window. You want to do it, but you feel like it's too late for you to do it. And God says it's not too late for you to do it. God said it's not too late for you to redeem the time. Trust him with it. Lay hold of it and go and do what God has called you to do. I want to take a quick minute to, on behalf of Holly and myself, to thank all of you. All of you have been such a blessing with Catherine, the birth of Catherine and Brianna. All the gifts that you've given us, we really appreciate it. We say thank you. We haven't had to buy much of anything for our children. You know, between our family here at House of the Lord and Natural Family, we haven't had to buy much. We've almost had to say stop because of all the toys that have accumulated, but praise God for that. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We really appreciate that. I was putting Brianna in the car this morning, and I had to pick her up to put her in her car seat. As I picked her up, I said, "Oh, you are getting so big, Brianna." And she looked at me and smiled, and she said, "Daddy getting big too?" That wasn't how that was supposed to go. I can take a hint. I need to lose a couple of pounds. The funny things that kids say. Funny things that kids say. You know, it's good to be able to laugh in the house of the Lord. It's good to have the joy of the Lord. It's good to see Ken's mom here. For those of you who don't know, Ken's mom and my mom used to play on the same softball team. They used to work together, and we didn't know that until we were 20-something years old. Ken was looking through a photo album of mine, and he said, "I've seen that woman before. Who is that?" I said, "That's my mom." "That's your mom?" "That's my mom. I've seen her before." And after a couple of conversations, we found out that our parents knew each other before we knew each other. And then it's amazing to see where we are now. Who would have thought? Who would have known that we would have become close friends and family? So good to see Ken's mom here. Well, today we are talking about becoming who you've become. Becoming who you've become. When people get married, they become husband or they become wife by covenant. They stand before witnesses, they stand before God, they stand before the minister, and they immediately and legally become spouse. Husband, wife. That happens very quickly, that they legally become spouse, they legally become husband, they legally become wife. But, as many of you know, legally becoming husband, legally becoming wife, does not always translate to operationally becoming husband, to operationally becoming wife. And so picking up on some of the things that we shared with you on Wednesday, we have to understand as believers that there's a difference between position and function. When I become a husband, if I continue to function as if I was single, there are going to be problems. If I want to go out, hang out all night long, like I used to do when I was single, most likely there are going to be problems. If the only person that I consider and think about before I make a decision is me, there are most likely going to be problems. What happened? I brought my single mindset into my married position. I brought an old mindset into a new covenant. I've got to learn how to become a husband. I became one positionally, but I have to learn how to become one operationally. I became a wife positionally, but I have to learn how to become a wife operationally. It's two different things. I have the title wife. I have the title husband. I have the title mother. I have the title father, but I've had to learn how to become a father. I became a father, but I've had to learn how to become a father. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you immediately became a child of God. You were born again, not of corruptible, but of incorruptible seed. Immediately, your nature changed. Immediately, your standing with God was righteous. Immediately, you became the healed of the Lord. Immediately, you were blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places through Christ. Immediately, the peace of God was yours. Immediately, God gave you a place of victory. He stood you on a mountain of victory and put you in a place of overcoming, victorious child of God, son of God. That happened immediately in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And do not, or no longer, be conformed to this world, but be transformed. That word transformed there is also the same word for metamorphosis. Become someone different. It is possible to be transformed. It's possible to be to become someone different. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, how? By a changed mindset, by the renewing of the mind, so that you may prove and understand the will of God, and God's will is good, acceptable, and perfect. A mindset. How does transformation take place? The renewing of the mind. So there are two things that happen. One, the believer or the person puts their faith in Christ, they immediately become a believer. They are immediately accepted by God. They are immediately blessed. They immediately become righteous. It's not a matter of, well, God won't bless me if I do something wrong. God already blessed you. You are already blessed with every spiritual blessing. He does not take the blessing back when you mess up. The blessing is on you, even when you mess up. But if that was the only thing that needed to happen, there would be no need for me to stand up here this morning. There would be no need for teaching, and your New Testament Bible would be very short. If all that needed to happen was for you to get born again, for your nature to be changed, for you to become in right standing with God, then why not immediately after a person receives Christ, kill him and let him go to heaven? Because it's God's will for you to operate here in the earth. There is a reason that God created man, and he put man in the earth. And he said, look after the earth, operate in the earth, have dominion, rule and reign and dominate in the earth. There's a reason that God did that. If God didn't want man in the earth, he wouldn't have put man in the earth. If God was not concerned about the earth, there wouldn't be a new heaven and a new earth on its way. But God is concerned about the earth. So many people are trying to hold out until Jesus returns. One more valley, one more hill, the trials and tribulations of life. Oh Lord, Jesus, come quickly. Well, I believe that. Christ is returning. And I welcome that. I look forward to his glorious return. But until that happens, God has called us to operate here on the earth. He told Adam, he said, have dominion, tend, rule, reign, dominate. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 5 that God has called us to reign through the one Christ Jesus by his grace. So God has a plan for you here in the earth. And so if it was just about becoming a child of God, if it was just about right standing with God, then there would be no need for none of this. Go home, lay on your couch, watch TV, and sleep until Jesus returns. But if we're going to operate here in the earth, then another transformation has to take place. And it's called the renewing of the mind. Be transformed by the renewing of the mind. Notice that it does not say be inspired. It says be changed, be transformed by the renewing of the mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So when you put your faith in Christ, God put a new nature on the inside of you. But you have to put that new self on. Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 20. But you did not learn Christ in this way. Once you become a believer, once you become a child of God, there is a learning process that takes place. You have to learn Christ in a certain way. That's why it starts off in verse 20. You did not learn Christ in this way. And that picks up on the context of the verses before that. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, we have to be taught in him. We have to be retaught. I don't care if you're 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years old. If the only knowledge and understanding that you have is what mom and dad and grandma and grandpa, aunt, uncle taught you when you were growing up, and it was not in Christ, you've got to learn over again. You've got to learn how to approach and deal with finances all over again. Because unless you were instructed out of the revelation and will and word of God concerning finances, what you learned about finances is wrong. Money is not your source. God is your source. But the world system will tell you that Money is your source. If you don't have money, you can't do anything. Well, God says, I'm your source. Without me, you can do nothing. Now, money is a good thing. Money is a tool that God can use. But money is not your source. You've got to learn that. You've got to be taught that. Your mind has to be renewed to that. The Bible says that by the stripes of Jesus Christ, we were healed. When Jesus was being beaten, when he was being whipped, when the crown of thorns was placed on his head, when the sword spear went through his side, all of the torment, all the punishment was put upon him. And by his stripes, his wounds, we are healed. Well, Brian, healed from what? Healed from everything that entered in when Adam did what he did. Sickness and disease was not in the earth until Adam did what he did. We are redeemed. We are healed. But Brian, I feel this way, therefore I am sick. I have this pain, Brian, so therefore I am sick. You have to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You have to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The natural mind, the carnal mind, says, if I have pain, I am sick. Not understanding that sickness is a condition, just like sin is a condition. You aren't redeemed from the act of sin. You're redeemed from the condition of sin that produces the act. Sickness is a condition. If I've been redeemed from the condition of sin, then I've also been redeemed from the condition of sickness. So then, just because I feel pain, that does not change my standing with Christ that by his stripes I am healed. No one is saying that you haven't felt pain. No one is saying that you haven't coughed, sneezed, sniffled. No one is saying that your nose has not run. No one is saying that you haven't gone to the doctor and the doctor gave you some medicine to help you. No one is saying that that is wrong to go to the doctor and get some medicine so that that can help you. That's not what we're saying. That's not what God is saying. What God is saying that by his stripes you are healed. What God is saying that even if you do go to the doctor and get medicine to help you, trust me. Even if you do go, by his stripes, you are healed. So no matter what you do, many are the plans in the heart of man, but it's the Lord's counsel that will stand. No matter what you do, by the stripes of Jesus Christ, you were healed. But if you've not learned this way in Christ, you believe that as a believer, now if you're not a believer, if you've never put your faith in Christ, that's another story. But if you are a believer, been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, you've got to learn that your senses will lie against the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. And the truth will cause you to experience freedom. But when you are bound by a lie, while you may be free in position, operationally here in the earth, your life may be a living hell. So your senses will lie to you. Your senses will lie against the word of God. It takes a renewed mind to understand that even in the middle of you coughing, even in the middle of you sneezing, you are the healed of the Lord. The world told you that the symptom means you're sick. God said, no matter what the symptoms say, I said, by his stripes you were healed. A renewed mind, only a renewed mind can lay hold of that and make the stand. What is the stand? The stand that I make is by his stripes I am healed. I am standing on this mountain of victory that Christ gave me. I told you earlier that when you put your faith in Christ, immediately God placed you on a mountain of victory, and you stand there. Now, anything that comes to you, and it will, anything that comes to you to try to get you off of that mountain, you fight the good fight of faith. That's the only fight that we've been told to fight, the good fight of faith. And the good fight of faith is not trying to get, it's not being moved. I'm not trying to obtain healing. I'm refusing to be moved by the symptoms that says I'm not healed. I'm not trying to get prosperity and blessings. I refuse to be moved from the blessing that I have. So it's resistance training. The attack comes. The symptom comes. The trial comes. And I push it away through the word of God. The word says, the devil came to Jesus. Jesus pushed it away with the word of God. It is written. Each time you push it away, push it away, push it away, you're working out. You're working out. Resistance training. Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Resistance training. Pushing it away, pushing it away. I am on a mountain of victory. I'm not trying to get to the mountain of financial blessing. I'm on it already. I push away lack. Let go. Let go. I will not allow lack in. Sickness and disease, go. I will not allow sickness and disease to become the truth in my life. The symptoms come. We've all been there before. I've been there before. The symptoms come. What God has called us to do is make our stand in Christ. Make our stand in him. Submit yourself to God. And in doing so, you resist the devil, and he will flee. Because he roams around looking for one whom he can devour. He roamed around looking for Jesus. He couldn't devour Jesus. Why? Because Jesus made his stand on what God said. We all have to acknowledge, including myself, that everything we learned in the world system growing up was not right. What we were taught by the world system concerning family is not correct. What we were taught, men, by the world system about what it means to be a man, what it means to be a husband, it was not right. We have to relearn in Christ. And so Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20, says, you did not learn this way in Christ. There's a different way you learn in Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, your former manner of life, your old self, who you used to be, because when you put your faith in Christ, you became someone new, that you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you, verse 23, what? You be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You've already been renewed as a born-again spirit. The next thing, which is an ongoing process, is renewing the mind. Renewing the mind. And that you put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. You put on the new self. Why is it, why can and how can a believer look like an unbeliever? How can a believer, someone who's put their faith in Christ, received him, look like an unbeliever in their behavior and the way they operate? The way they approach things. They're born again, They're a child of God. God loves them. If Christ was to return today, they would go to heaven. But why here on the earth, where God has called you to function and operate, can a believer look like an unbeliever to the natural eye? Unrenewed mind. An unrenewed mind can make someone who is a believer, who is a child of God, who does have the nature of God, look like an unbeliever. Why? They've not put on the new self yet. They've not laid aside the old self in their mind and put on the new self in their mind. Them as a spirit being, they've been recreated. They're new. But because they've not undergone the renewing of the mind, they look like an unbeliever. I was 12 years old. I was at church. I used to fall asleep in church. One day I decided to pay attention and listen. I did not know why I decided to pay attention and listen. I was at church. I was at Tony Evans' church. Anybody know Tony Evans? I was at Tony Evans' church at the age of 12. And I'll never forget, he preached on John chapter 15, the vine and the branches. That unless you abide in him, there is no life. And I listened, and I listened, and I listened. For the first time as a young boy, God got my attention. They had an altar call, and I stood up, and I walked down that altar. I don't know why I stood up. I don't know what drew me down the altar. But I stood up, I walked down the altar to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I prayed the sinner's prayer. I was a sinner. Somebody gave me some literature, told me to read it. I went into a back room, got a little bit of counseling. Y'all been there before. Y'all seen this. I went home. I read a little bit of that pamphlet. I put it aside, and it sat on my nightstand for another 6 years. I went back to my normal routine. Somebody bought me a Bible when I was 12. I got my Bible. I looked at it a couple of times. They got me a Bible where you can put those little sticky tabs on it so you know exactly where the book goes. Because, you know, I tripped out when I was a little boy because, you know, I'd be in church and I'd have a Bible and the preacher would be reading from supposedly the same chapter and verse I was looking at, but his words were different. That always freaked me out. I didn't know about different translations of the Bible. I just thought, you know, this dude is confused. Somebody got me a Bible. You can put those little sticky things on there. You can easily flip to. And I thought that was cool, so I spent a whole night putting my stickers on. That's what kids do, right? You know? Yeah, craft time. I put my stickers on. But that was it. I thought my Bible looked good with stickers on it, and then I put it aside. Never looked at it again. No renewing of the mind. I believe that God, by God's grace and God's mercy, I receive Christ as my Lord and Savior, that I belong to him, but no renewed mind. So there, if you watch me from 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 years old, I looked like an unbeliever. No one would have known that I walked down that aisle. I received Christ as my Lord and Savior. Why? Unrenewed mind. I never put on the new self. I was still living by the old self, although I was new. Never put on the new self. Never got discipled. Never got trained. None of that. So then God had to cross my path with someone else's path when I was a freshman at the University of Texas. That person invited me somewhere. Game on now. Game on now. Because God began to open my eyes and I begin to pick up where I left off 6 years ago. But for 6 years, my life was a living hell. Oh, not because, you know, not because of what you might think, but when you are not walking in God's will for your life, it is that. I mean, people looking at me naturally, I had a good life, don't get me wrong, but I was not walking in God's will, plain and simple. So then, game on, 18 years old, became extremely passionate about the word. Extremely passionate. So passionate that I didn't know how to handle it. I didn't have any balance. Brian, what do you mean by that? Well, I would go to class and sit in the back of the class, and the whole class I'll be doing nothing but reading my Bible. I was supposed to be learning, paying a lot of money to supposed to be learning, but I was reading my Bible. And I would walk down Speedway on the campus of the University of Texas with my Bible open, and I'd have my head down just reading, 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 reading. I loved it. I loved it. I loved the word. I would read chapters and books throughout the week, reading. I didn't know a lot, Pastor, about meditation then, but I was hungry for the word. I would just read and read, and I got so excited about the word. Wow, this is good. This is good. And I would go to class and I would read. What happened, Brian? Did God bless you, even because you were reading? No, I got an F in calculus. I got an F in calculus. Right? Now, I learned better. God redeemed the time. I learned how to bring some balance to this thing. But my point is this, I was hungry for the word. I was hungry for the word. You can't have the experience in the earth that God has called you to have and have your Bible sitting on your nightstand and coffee table like I did and not touch it and not get your mind renewed. You will be a believer who goes to heaven who did not have the experience that God wanted you to have here in the earth. Unable to rule and reign and dominate the way God wants you to, because you've not put on the new self. You've not been transformed by the renewing of your mind. And here's the thing. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is like yeast that a woman hid in some flour. And that yeast spread to every part of that piece of bread, until the whole thing was consumed with it. We shared with you Wednesday that the kingdom of God was never designed to be relegated to one area of your life. Most people relegate the kingdom of God to one area, primarily heaven. I'm going to heaven, and I feel good about that. I won't go to hell, I'll go to heaven. The kingdom of God was never designed that way, to be relegated to one area of your life. The kingdom of God was designed to spread into your finances, into your decision making, into your family, into your choices, into your career, into your job, into your pursuits. And by the time you think God is done with you, there's something else. For he is at work in you both to will and to do according to his, not yours, his good pleasure. But I've got to put on the new self. I've got to be renewed in the spirit of my mind. And I found that as I grew in Christ, and I'm still growing in Christ, I'm just at a different phase. That was phase one. Then I went to phase two. Well, Brian, how many phases are there? An infinite amount, because you never stop. By the time you think you're done with one area, God's done working on you, guess what? There's something else. There's another level for you to go to. There's another phase for you to go to. You go from glory to glory to glory. And so I remember I was dealing with a cold. I was about 19 years old. I was coughing and hacking all that stuff, snot, everything. I'm a believer. I was dealing with that. And I was walking with a friend of mine. His name was John Hendricks. You might have heard of him. And we were walking down Speedway, coming from the Welch building, going back to Jester, because that's where I lived at that time. And we're walking, and I kept saying, I said, you know, John, I'm so sick. I'm sick. Now, keep in mind, I haven't been at this thing for that long, Pastor. I'm sick. Because that's what we do. That's what the world system does, right? If you're coughing, you're sick. You're coughing, you're sick. That flies in the face of by his stripes we were healed. We got to reconcile this somehow, right? So I'm sick. John says, "Man, you're not sick." It's like, what? That was foreign to me. I'm a believer. That's foreign to me. What do you mean I'm not sick? You're not sick. Yeah, I'm sick. I'm pretty sure I'm sick. I'm pretty sure I feel bad. My nose is running. I'm pretty sure I'm sick. No, you're not sick. You're the healed of the Lord. You need to receive your healing. No, I'm sick. I did not have a good receptor. And that's where many believers struggle. They struggle with receiving. God has paid it all. Jesus has paid it all. He's given us. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He is freely given, freely, not by our works, not by our effort. He's freely given. You don't have to worry about sin when it comes to getting from God. God's already given. He's not taking it back because you mess up. But it does have to be received. And most people would think, Brian, that's easy, right? If you already gave it, it's easy for me to receive it. No, it's not. It's not always easy to receive. I mean, you think of the most natural example. Somebody ever gave you some money, you were like, oh, no, I can't take that. Can't take that. Why do we do that? We're trained to stand in our own merits and pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. And because of that mentality, it's hard for us to receive. It's hard for us to receive. Now, God was telling me through John that by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. I couldn't receive that. Why could I not receive that? Because my mind had not been renewed. So he said, so I'm thinking John's crazy at this point. He's telling me I'm healed, and I'm trying to tell him, eloquently, I might add, Pastor, that I'm sick. I want to explain to him how sick I am. You know, get me some grapes, get me some orange juice, take care of me, because I'm sick. I was not trying to step up into the healing that had been purchased for me through Christ, because I reserve my right to be sick. I confessed it, I spoke it, and I received it. I'm sick. And guess what? I stayed sick. But now my mind has to be renewed. Oh, you mean health is part of my new covenant?
Come on.
It is? Well, I was excited about all this reading I was doing, and it felt good on the inside, and I was learning, but I had not gotten to that topic yet, that subject yet. And so he's telling me I'm healed. I'm telling him I'm sick. Eventually, I get it. I start going to this church, and I said, oh, that's where he got it from. So they all crazy. Hey, I was young. A lot of those folks aren't here today, so, yeah, I thought all of them was crazy. You mean my feelings aren't the truth? That blew my mind. You mean the way the circumstances look doesn't mean that that's the way God intended? That blows my mind. The way the circumstances look is not what I'm limited to? That blows my mind. God will blow your mind. He will blow your mind. And you have to allow God to blow your mind. Allow him to blow your mind. Woo! I would have never thought, but God blew my mind. It'd be transformed, be changed by the renewing of our mind. We told you Wednesday, Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. Brian, why do believers go through trouble? Because Jesus is true. He didn't lie. In this world, you will face trouble. You will face tribulation. But he says, rejoice. You don't rejoice in the symptoms of sickness. You don't rejoice in the lack, in the financial lack. You don't rejoice in what's happening with your kids. We all acknowledge that that stuff happens. We all acknowledge that that stuff comes our way. No one's saying that it doesn't happen. No one's saying that it has not happened. What we're saying is that there is a greater truth that violates that. What we are saying is that I receive a greater law. We told you Wednesday that there's the law of gravity, which is a very true law. But when you enact the law of lift, the law of gravity gets violated and you can fly. What we're saying is that we refuse to be bound and limited by that law. We've got a greater law, a greater covenant with greater promises, and we receive that so that we can experience the victory that we already have, becoming who we've become, so that we can walk in the things that God intended for us to walk in. Philippians chapter 3. In verse 12. Not that I have already obtained or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which I was also laid hold of by Christ Jesus. That's a mouthful. I'm going to say that, read that again. I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. If you are a believer, Christ laid hold of you. No, well, Brian, I laid hold of Christ. No, Christ laid hold of you. God came and got your attention. Saul was riding down the road on a donkey, not thinking about Christ. Christ came and laid hold of him. He came and got him. Came and rescued him. Paul knocked off of his horse. Saul does not understand what's going on. But he was laid hold of by Christ. Christ came and got him. The Bible says you weren't born again by your own will or by the will of man, but by the will of God. I'm not going to get deep into that this morning, but there's a lot there. Christ came and laid hold of him. And he says, now I press on to lay hold of the reason that which Christ has laid hold of me. I've been laid hold of by Christ. But it's not supposed to stop there. I've been born again. I'm a new creature in Christ. God loves me. I'm in right standing with God. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm the healed of the Lord positionally. My experience in the earth is heavily involved in how I receive that. And how I receive that is heavily affected by a renewed mind versus an old mind. See, the thing about sin is not that it affects God's love for you, but it may affect your love for yourself and the way you feel about yourself. And if you don't feel good about yourself, it may affect your willingness to receive from God. It's not about how it affects God, it's about how it affects you. your consciousness before God. And so the ability to receive, to lay hold of that, because when Christ laid hold of you, he has a purpose for you. He has blessings for you. I don't know about you. I don't want to leave anything on the table. I want to lay hold of that for which Christ laid hold of me. He came and got me. Now I want to understand what he had in mind when he came and got me, because he has good things in mind for you. So I want to lay hold of that. The only way that I'm going to lay hold of that in my experience in the earth is renewing my mind. Transformed by the renewing of my mind. Brian, what does the renewal process look like? I've got to get in this word. I've got to get my Bible off the nightstand. I got to get it off the coffee table. I got to get it off the dash. I've got to open it up. And I have to start word by word, renewing my mind. Well, Brian, where do I start? If you don't know where to start in the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John is written, recorded, documented from a perspective of Christ's love for you. You have to understand Christ's love for you. That's the foundation of our love for him. We love him because he first loved us. Word by word, I open my Bible and I begin to, if you're new at this, read. Once you get into a flow, then you want to start meditating the word. Memorizing the word doesn't do much good. Brian, how do you know? Because I used to memorize the word. I can quote verse after verse after verse after verse after verse. But if that's it, that's all, it does me no good today. The only thing that it helps me do is if I need to remember where something was, I can remember where it was. But there is no life in it. It's a mental exercise. So you may start off reading, but you want to quickly get into meditation, meditating what God said. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved. Stop right there. God so loved. That means it was a passionate love. God so loved. He so loved. He loved so much. God. It's God's love. God loves so. God so loved. God so loved. God so loved the world. The world, the world, the world. What is the world? The world. God so loved the world. He said the world. That is all of the cosmos. That is creation. That includes you too. But God loved it all. He so loved the world that he loved. He gave. Okay, so love gives. Love gives. God so loved the world so much that he gave. He gave. Oh, so then my love should look like giving. My love does not look like feelings. It looks like giving. It looks like sacrifice. So you begin to meditate. Think about what you're reading. Who's speaking? Who are they speaking to? How does it apply to me? That goes beyond just reading the Bible. It's meditating. You come to church. You hear the word. God begins to deal with you about the word you heard. Your attitude is open to that. You receive that. You go and you listen to the message again on your iPod, on your computer, on CD, whatever. You hear it over and over and over. Why? Because it's a process. You hear it over. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing about what's happening. You are renewing your mind. You're washing your mind. Then you will have an opportunity to demonstrate what you've been learning through adversity. Don't be afraid. Christ has already overcome that adversity. But something that adversity does is it causes you to experience what you've been learning. It allows you to apply what you've been learning, and it reinforces what you've been learning in a way that couldn't be reinforced any other way. Becoming one with the word becomes much more real when you face an adverse situation and you stand on the word that you've been meditating and watch that thing dissolve. But it all starts with renewing your mind, meditating. So the word today is, don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed. Become who you've become. You are full of wisdom. You are rich. You are wise. You are strong. You are healthy. You are full of purpose and power. That's who you are positionally in Christ. Now, unlock that here in the earth. Become who you've become. Renew your mind and allow who you are positionally to come out into the earth so that the glory of God can be seen. Renewing the mind takes an investment. You have to be invested in this. You invest your time. You invest your money. No, we're not taking up an offering. But you invest your time. You invest your money in renewing your mind. It's going to be hard for you to renew your mind if all you're taking in is the media from the world system around you. You've got to sacrifice. You've got to set aside time to renew your mind, to wash your mind, to meditate on the Word of God. So become who you've become. Amen? We are done for today. We will dismiss. Stand with me. Father, we thank you for your word. It is a lamp unto our feet. It is a light unto our path. And the word that has gone forth today, Father, seal it in our hearts. Seal it in our minds. Continue to work it in us, Father. You are at work in us both to will and to do according to your good pleasure. Therefore, we work out. You said, work out what you've worked in. So work this word in us, Father, over time, allowing us to work it out, Father. To work it out, seal it, Father, and cause us to become who we've become. Cause us to live out one day at a time, one growth period at a time, one phase at a time, that which you put on the inside of us, Father. Amen. You are loved. Go with God.